is your ship and you are the captain. Oh, captain, let's make a deal where we both say the things that we both really feel. I feel scared and I'm starting to sink, and I only sink deeper the deeper I think. Oh, captain, oh, captain, deal. Oh, captain, deal. Oh, captain, deal. Oh, wow. There are red spots under your eyes.
Chapter 15, Immortal Alliance Conference. Maybe we missed a lesson from the previous generation, Shang Qinghua suggests glumly out of the corner of his mouth. Yue Qingyuan doesn't respond, giving no sign that he heard this, while smiling pleasantly down on the various sects making their entrances, the range for which seems to run from obnoxiously flamboyant, like, "We get it, bro. You're hot fucking shit, and we're all super grateful you decided to grace us with your presence. Please get a damn muffler for your personality." Too pitifully terrified, which is kind of pathetic, but also super relatable and understandable. Some of these sects are tiny. The 12 peaks of Changchong Mountain Sect, as the leading hosts of the event, are standing in a line to officially welcome all their fellow cultivators to the Revived Immortal Alliance Conference. Everyone is conveniently ignoring that the Immortal Alliance Conferences have been canceled since that last one where lots of people died. Apparently, long before the current generation of Peak Lords at Changchong Mountain Sect, Huanhua Palace Sect and Mobei Jun's clan pretty much went to war with each other and formed some burning grudges. But, haha, surely that won't happen again. The opening ceremonies and preliminary meetings are scheduled to continue throughout the day, which means hours more of pretty much exactly this. Shang Qinghua is already beginning to seriously despair for the event schedule and for himself in general. These super formal robes and hair ornaments are heavy for one thing. For another, the whole thing of the Immortal Alliance Conference is that every sect is invited to participate. Shang Qinghua attacked the guest list with figurative pruning shears and social bloodlust, which probably gained him many lifelong enemies. But it's still too damn long. There are too many competing elements here. He's half convinced that all that's going to be accomplished here is showing those wicked demons battling for scraps of power in the wake of the Demon Emperor's defeat at the hands of the great sects, that the righteous cultivators of the human realm hate each other's fucking guts most of the time. If this wasn't his event, he'd bet real money. "How so?" Shen Qingchu interrupts boredly, which nearly makes Shang Qinghua startle. Like, honestly? Holy shit! What the fuck? Shen Qingchu is standing between Shang Qinghua and their sect leader, as the master of the second highest peak, and has so far been so fucking good at strictly ignoring both of them that Shang Qinghua was unconsciously persuaded that Shen Qingchu is genuinely totally incapable of seeing him or hearing his muttering. Now the Qingjing Peak Lord is actually striking up a conversation. Now that's indisputable proof that this runway show of the cultivation world's best outfits is boring beyond bearing. Shang Qinghua really wishes that he had Wan Tian Peak Lord Wei Qingwei's place third on Yue Qingyuan's other side, between Changmen Shixiang first and Xianshu Peak Lord Qi Qingqi fifth, with Baichan Peak Lord Liu Qingge seventh beside her, isn't bad. He likes them. He's stuck between Shen fucking Qingchu second and Shi Zhao Peak Lord Tang Qingling sixth, with Mu Qingfang eighth just past her. Fuck, What did he say? Something about missing a lesson? Well, it's understood that there was too much old resentment between our predecessors and various senior members of the other great sects to revive such a costly event before now, Shangqing Hua answers. Because he knows for a fucking fact that the previous peak lord of An Ding wouldn't have willingly spit on Tian Yi Overlook unless they paid him with their full treasure vault, that the man had nearly been accidentally killed by this one Chao Hua temple cultivator twice, and that he would have sold all of Huanhua Palace and everything in it for a neat rock. This newest generation of peak lords has finally settled into their roles, but they're still fresh enough that their shit list hasn't become a hit list just yet. The cultivation world's old feuds have practically been reset. It's a new age of righteous solidarity. Or something.
This is sad.
Shen Qingqiu agrees neutrally. I'm thinking that maybe there was a lesson in that example, Shangqing Hua says, that we've maybe failed to grasp. No idea what that lesson is yet, though. Just, getting a weird feeling.
I'm sure that this lesson will be made apparent over the course of the long days of the conference,
Shen Qingqiu says flatly.
How good to know that Shang Shidi has already anticipated all potential shortcomings in this event organization. I look forward to a flawless event.
Ah, of course. Fuck you, fuck you, fuck you, bro! Shangqing Hua thinks, kind of out of habit. He'd be more creative with his curses, but, well, he's tired. He was here on the scene long before any of his martial siblings showed up to make the final arrangements and to greet the assisting hosts. His memory of the past couple weeks is pretty much one huge blur of construction mishaps. Merchant wagon traffic jams, talisman and array failures, waste removal logistics, and repetitive arguments with the discontented or overexcited locals. They've had to rope off a valley, basically, to hold the damn thing. All of the spare rooms and houses in the nearest town, cities, and isolated shacks within a few hours' flying distance have been rented out to the visiting sects. The organizing sects, the foremost of which is Chang Chang, built several brand new buildings alongside setting up new tournament grounds and stages and a market space and more. Not far from here are fields of tents. Like every fucking circus in the world has come to town all at once. And for some damn reason, someone's been telling all the clowns to come to An Ding Peak if they have a problem with their rival clown neighbors. And every important person has, of course, come with an entourage of servants and disciples who need to be put somewhere too. Uninvited, but not unexpected, rogue cultivators, cultivation-adjacent individuals, and mundane locals have been pouring in for the shoulder rubbing and shopping and show of skills for weeks now, getting in Shangqing Hua's way and throwing themselves underfoot. An Ding Peak, who? Shangqing Hua doesn't know any An Ding Peak. The Immortal Alliance Conference is his life now. All of the opening ceremonies are a spectacle. Very, shiny and sparkly and a whole lot of everything at once. But Shangqing Hua is too busy paying more attention to who is snubbing who, very important for damage control later, and to the few hitches going off basically nonstop. Confetti cannons aren't a thing in this world. Thank fuck. But if they were, the disciple of an assisting sect probably would have found a way to take off another disciple's head with one by accident. He's a realist. That's what would happen. There's no way that wouldn't happen. By the time that the opening night fireworks display goes off, organized by a minor sect with a thing for explosives and the urge to show off for the world, Shangqing Hua kind of wants to go, Great. Glad that's over. Let's all go home now. The Immortal Alliance conference was less than 12 hours long, start to finish. Really good job, everyone. Maybe with the next one, we can do it faster and get an even better time. But the conference goes on for just under 2 weeks. It's kind of a blur, too. Bling-covered heads go nod, 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 and shake, shake, shake. Glasses are raised in toast, and hands are slammed angrily on tables during the many, many feasts and lunches and dinners, which facilitate the building of friendships in this new age. And also at least one brawl. Sleeves flap, fans flutter, wine gets spilled on fancy robes, and people get caught in so many compromising situations that a sexy book could be made out of all positions. Intersect politics. You have to love them. People put on all sorts of shows, even outside of the conferences, tournaments, and official competitions of skill, especially the sects that need to make up for less than impressive martial abilities, just to add a little music concert from hell on top of what's basically the sporting event from hell. There are endless displays of weapon demonstrations, musical and dance performances, beast taming and beast training, and shows of ancient artifacts and specialized tools. It's kind of neat. Unfortunately, Zhang Qinghua is too busy to pay any real attention, and when he can, he's a little bit distracted by thoughts like, next time we're making them fill out a fucking questionnaire before they can put on a show. And the first fucking question is going to be, are you planning on making anything explode? Be honest. The next fucking question is going to be, if explosions aren't planned, are they a possibility? Be fucking honest. The shows all have their messages. Please hire us. Please ally with us. Please invest in us. Please come learn from us. Please envy and fear us. Please respect us. There are definitely some performances which are saying, fuck you. Zhang Qinghua both enjoys and resents the demonstrations that are so transparently, fuck this asshole in particular. Like, it's kind of hilarious. Wow, this gossip is great stuff. Super dramatic. A part of him loves it. But can't they vague at their rival sect or a formal martial sibling at an event he's not managing? Save it for the next one. Zhang Qinghua is also distracted by thoughts like, oh wow, Luo Jiahui would really love that. And thoughts like, Bing He would be shouting nonstop if he could see this. If he wasn't working, if their family was in a better situation, Zhang Qinghua would love to show his family around a spectacular event like this. Except, he's also terrified by the mere suggestion of bringing Bing He anywhere near the Immortal Alliance conference. He won't take that risk. He might as well tell the shitty system to just sign him up for as much suffering as possible. It fucking sucks being the leading host, knowing that the assisting hosts are going to claim more credit than they're due if the event is deemed a success, and that otherwise the assisting hosts are going to throw the failure in Chang Chong's lap and do the political equivalent of jumping out of a moving car. Zhang Qinghua could hope that being an assisting host 5 years from now is going to be better, but he already knows that's not going to be the case. Huanhua Palace sect is going to be all, oh, but you did it last time. You're obligated to help us figure it out now, because we're all friends here now. Friends help each other out. Zhang Qinghua is already mentally plotting the horrific sickness he's going to fake contracting to get out of that bullshit. He's even considering actually getting injured as a backup plan. It's drastic, but it's always good to have extra backup plans. At least the disciples seem like they're having fun. Zhang Qinghua has just finished putting out a fire, literal and figurative, on the camping grounds, when he does a double take at the sight of Peng Hongpeng and Lin Wenjiao scuttling by with a suspiciously large bag of money. They each did well enough, not embarrassingly at least, which is well enough in Shangqing Hua's book and the various competitions for their age group, but not well enough for any prizes, and any bets with martial siblings should have already been squirreled away. "Hey, where did that come from?" Shangqing Hua demands. The young teenage disciples freeze guiltily, which is a rookie mistake. If they stole that from someone, they ought to be hiding it better than that. Also, someone is going to raise hell about a theft that hefty, and Shangqing Hua doesn't need any more problems. "Betting?" Lin Wenjiao says. "Supporting Liu Shushu," Peng Hongpeng polishes. "Ah, right. The tournament for well-established masters concluded today. You got a lot of people to bet against a legendary war god?" Shangqing Hua observes, impressed and still suspicious. In the spirit of friendly competition, Liu Qingge fucking demolished all categories available to him. Wei Qingwei and Wang Qingjie and some senior Baicheng peak cultivators tried to give him a run for his money. But Liu Qingge has been waiting for this event for ages and, to show his respect to his martial siblings, kicked asses extra hard. This surprised pretty much no one from Changchong Mountain Sect. Honestly, what else was going to happen? Yue Qingyuan, in the spirit of friendly competition, didn't participate. Which, with his own issues, thank fuck for that. "Well, you know what they say, Shifu," Lin Wenjiao says finally. "I do? The Baichan war god's reputation is probably greatly exaggerated," Peng Hongpeng supplies helpfully. "You know how desperate these so-called great sects are to lift themselves above everything else? If you ask me, Tongchong Mountain Sect just isn't what it used to be, and they know it. At least they're good at putting out rumors." "The stories must be all made up to save face," Lin Wenjiao says, fanning herself. "He looks so young and so much less fearsome than expected. I bet that a man like that gets smacked down by the first real cultivator he goes up against." "That worked?" Shangqing Hua says. "Until he stepped into the ring that first time," Lin Wenjiao admits. "That was only a fluke," Peng Hongpeng tells her knowingly. "Tongchong Mountain Sect probably made sure that their war god got easy competition at the beginning to make sure that he makes it far enough in the tournament." "Wow. Go run your scam somewhere else," Shangqing Hua says, impressed despite himself. "What horrible little brats. I didn't hear anything about it." They both beam at him. "Yes, Shifu. Thank you, Shifu." To be young again. Shangqing Hua really is all grown up and boring and responsible now. So it's fun to live vicariously through the young people sometimes. By the time that the final night of the Immortal Alliance Conference comes around, and a banquet is held to celebrate the victors of the various tournaments and hunts, Shangqing Hua suddenly regains more energy than he's had in the past month. Like, holy shit, it's nearly over. It's nearly done. He actually feels like a fully competent Lord of Anding Peak right now. Someone who totally deserves his shitty position and could run fucking laps around the competition. What a high. And he doesn't have to do this, or anything even remotely like this, for another 5 years. Well, more like 4 years at most, realistically, because the planning has to start far out in advance. But who's counting? Not him! He plans on forgetting how to do mathematics for a few days afterwards to celebrate. What are numbers? He doesn't know. He will cry because it's over, thanks. He'll be crying tears of blissful fucking joy. Sure, there will be smaller cultivation conferences and summits limited to specific regions to negotiate trade and territory, to celebrate old and new alliances, and so on. But those are all a piece of fucking cake in comparison. Depending on how important the people are, even though they all want Yue Qingyuan and all Peak 12 Lords so they can show off how much influence they have, Songqiong can get away with sending a delegation with only one Peak Lord, or even no Peak Lord, or sometimes no one at all and only a really nice gift basket. Also, other cultivation conferences won't fill him with deep, unrelenting dread. Hopefully. What little sleep Shangqinghua has managed to get for the past month has been haunted by a crack opening in the earth, from slowly growing whispering breaks to screaming chasms of endless darkness. Shangqinghua has been dreaming of falling and of watching people fall. He's never woken up crying in his life before. Turns out that it fucking sucks. Oh man, Shangqinghua can't wait to go back to more easily being able to ignore the heavy weight of the plot hanging over his head and the heavy press of the transmigration system inside his head. Like, he knows that he can't actually feel the system. It's not physical. But on some shitty days, he can totally feel that no good fucking thing whirring away in there. He really can't wait to stick his head back in the sand. Wow, he really misses doing that. He thought he was going to throw up watching the disciples hunt, which would have been a huge problem because he didn't place any strategic potted plants around or nearby the viewing platform for all the sect leaders. He used to be so much better at throwing these kinds of thoughts away. Anyway, it's a party. Bad thoughts aren't welcome. Moving on. Shangqinghua has, for some reason, been left with Liu Qingge, the unanimously agreed peerless victor of the conference, which means that everyone has been coming up to them to offer congratulations and then throw out unsubtle hooks for invitations to various future events. Sucks for them that Shangqinghua is very adept at dodging those and that they just bounce right off. Good ol' Liu Shidi. Shangqinghua is clearly part of the cool crowd here. It's pretty great for his confidence. Like, hey, he really is an influential Peak Lord. He's someone worth fawning over. At bare minimum, because he's actually friends with a war god. Liu Qingge is beaten all to hell after his victory, with nasty bruising down his body and purple swelling over half his face, because all those competing masters do kind of add up after too many rounds. But he's still radiating contentment. He's actually smiling most of the time. Mu Qingfang is basically doing the equivalent of shots across the room with this Wei Xian Peak Lord at the moment, apparently unable to deal with how pleased with himself their martial brother is after getting to wail on and be wailed on by some of the most formidable cultivators in the world. But while Liu Qingge's state definitely inspires wincing, Shangqinghua has seen the other guys, some of whom were sect leaders, and none of them are even here right now. Poor fuckers. "Did you have fun?" Shangqinghua asked Liu Qingge just after the last fight ended. Holy shit, that was some super cool and also super scary stuff. Shangqinghua had already decided that Luo Jiahui would probably find extra room in her immensely generous heart if Liu Qingge's pretty face never recovered. Asking something like, "Bro, why the fuck are you like this?" was pointless, especially since Liu Qingge is kind of shit at explaining things that he thinks are super obvious.
"It wasn't for fun. It was to defend the reputation of our sect,"
Liu Qingge answered, offended somewhere underneath all that blood and the very broken nose. At least, that's what Shangqinghua assumed the madman said, somewhere under all that blood and the very broken nose and the arm that was also definitely busted.
Yeah, but did you have fun? Shang Qinghua said.
Liu Qingge visibly thought about it, then grinned, all wide and ugly with blood, and said,
Could have been better.
Mu Qingfang, who was treating the man at the time, closed his eyes like he was in immeasurable pain.
Oh, I fucking feel that, bro,
Shang Qinghua thought. Shang Qinghua's memories of sheer fucking disbelief. Why can't his poor sister-in-law like a man more inclined to last longer? His family doesn't need more stress. Are now interrupted by Ti Qingqi, quickly pushing through the crowds of the victor's banquet. She looks very nice, amazingly pink and purple and shiny, definitely greater than the sum of all the expenses involved in her outfit, which Shang Qinghua winces just remembering. She also looks very determined. Ji Qingqi stops in front of her martial brothers, as dignified as an empress, and hisses, Hide me. Which is alarming. Shang Qinghua's general rule of thumb for life is that anything anyone else wants to hide from, he probably wants to hide from too. Qi Shimei, what's wrong? The fact that it's Ti Qingqi is extra alarming. She doesn't do fear, only loathing. Shang Qinghua has suffered immensely with his martial sister acting as his editor, or at the very least as his personal critic, apparently immune to the fact that one, his Binga and other, also reused or blatantly plagiarized from another life, books, aren't for publishing, and two, he never asked for an editor. Sometimes he really feels like he's being taken hostage here. On the one hand, it's kind of fun to have someone to argue literature with again. He's missed that. Even if Ti Qingqi is more into competently executed classic tropes rather than interesting inversions and subversions. On the other hand, she's scary and he's busy. He doesn't have time to be bullied by yet another person in his life.
Madame Liu is here,
Ji Qingqi hisses.
What?
She's been here for days,
Liu Qingge says,
with friends.
Shang Qinghua and Ji Qingqi's heads whip towards their most unhelpful and disloyal junior martial brother in betrayed synchronization.
Why didn't you tell me?
Shang Qinghua demands. Liu Qingge snorts and says,
Why?
As if to say, If you didn't know that my mother was here, then that's on you. Get fucking good, bro. Like the asshole he is. Shang Qinghua should have totally dumped his ass to go do the historical fantasy equivalents of shots with Mu Qingfang and Zhang Qingyan. Why is she here, though? How is she here? The victor's banquet is exclusively for sect leaders and the tournament winners. Never mind, that's a stupid question. Shang Qinghua can only assume that the Baichan cultivators, currently acting as bouncers, took one look at their peak lord's mother approaching and scrambled to open the door for her. Either that or they're dead. What a tragedy. Qi Shimei, just go out the other door.
I can't.
Ji Qingqi says through gritted teeth, Lian He's sect leader is loitering there.
Ah.
Lian He is an all-female sect with a grudge against Xian Shu Peak because reasons? Reasons originally invented to back the author's true reason of catfights are sexy, probably. There were a few wives and villains sourced from that sect in proud immortal demon way, usually with a grudge against fan-favorite wife Liu Mingyan.
Chi Ching Chi will definitely be stopped and can't be caught running away from the formidable Madame Liu without inspiring super annoying gossip, even if running away from Madame Liu is a totally reasonable thing to do. Xiang Qinghua will inwardly admit that part of this awkward social situation is arguably his fault. Maybe. If a person squints, this situation could be traced back to him, possibly. I'll do it for a favor, Xiang Qinghua says.
What?
Chi Qingqi demands. Aha, nothing in this life happens for free, Chi Shimei. Chi Qingqi looks like she's going to give him a free ticket into the next life.
Fine, but only if it's something reasonable.
Deal. Neither of them bother to appeal to Liu Qingge. That won't do anything useful at all. Xiang Qinghua flags down his disciple, Chen Yuan, currently acting as one of the servers, and whispers to her.
Ah, Disciple Chen, what a shame you're going to have an emergency that gets your martial aunt out the second door without being stopped by anyone, especially not Lian He.
Shrimp dumplings with red sauce,
Chen Xuan says immediately.
Ah, fine.
Chen Xuan makes her teacher proud by immediately screwing up her face and sniffling. Liu Qingge and Chi Qingqi both stare at the crying teenage girl in mild horror.
Chi Shigu, this disciple needs your help.
Chen Xuan blubbers, rubbing at her face with her sleeve, clearly doing her best to keep her distress quiet.
I'm having a problem with a boy from one of the other sects of the conference, and I need a woman's help. Oh, Shufu, this disciple meant to tell you earlier.
This sounds like it needs a woman's touch,
Xiang Qinghua agrees, summoning an out-of-my-fucking-depth expression with no problem.
Chi Shimei, could you help?
Of course.
Chi Qingqi says, with dignity, putting a firm hand on the girl's shoulder and leading her away. Xiang Qinghua and Liu Qingge watch her go. Some nearby guests do as well, giving the poor disciple pitying looks, clearly underestimating the power of using an adorable child as a shield in trying situations. Xiang Qinghua learned this powerful move from his sister-in-law, who constantly uses the "Oh, excuse me, I need to look after the baby," excuse, to get out of all sorts of awkward conversations. Even when Luo Binghe is clearly totally fine, even though the boy is 7 years old now. The baby needs tending, out of the way.
Chi Qingqi definitely fucking owes him for this rescue, because Madame Liu is upon them almost immediately. It's a sacrifice play. Payback for that one time that Xiang Qinghua totally threw Chi Qingqi under the bus to escape Madame Liu's attention. Madame Liu is a formidable cultivator, so she appears in this weird, floaty area of maybe 40? And her actual age is a total mystery. Cultivation can really make guessing the grandparent, the parent, and the child of a family the most dangerous game in the world. Xiang Qinghua guesses wrong almost every time, partly because a headache-inducing number of cultivators get a sick kick out of making people guess wrong, like it's their one joy in life. Madame Liu is also tall, well-dressed, exquisitely made up, and even more beautiful than one would expect the mother of Liu Qingge and Liu Mingyan to be, which is a lot. Her beauty is like a blunt fucking instrument, just like the rest of her. Heads turn to follow her path, mouths dropping open and eyes going comically wide, and Xiang Qinghua has to desperately hope that no one starts any damn wars over this woman. Not at his event. She's from Xianshu Peak. If any wars start, she won't hesitate to throw down and finish them.
Where is my son?
Madame Liu says, staring directly at him as she walks up to them.
Where is the victor of this little tournament who couldn't manage to do it and stay in one piece? I don't see any faces that I know here. Only one that has been very badly taken care of. Unless it was the owner's intention to look like a beaten sack of vegetables instead of someone's son.
Mother,
Liu Qingge greets, unbothered. At least you won, Madam Liu sniffs, which is more than can be said for some. Who put this little tournament together? How absurd to have those bouts one after the other like that, day after day. I can only assume that it was an attempt to make up for the lack of proper competition. There should have been more divisions.
Madame Liu's focus snaps to Shang Qinghua, who sends a prayer to the system to give him a good next life, a curse towards Qi Shimei for not taking one for the team again, and a note of apology towards Luo Jiahui for his untimely demise.
Ah, think fondly of your poor Uncle Shang, Binghe, he thinks.
Madame Liu spends the next 20 minutes helpfully telling Shang Qinghua everything that needs to be done better next time around to improve Tang Chong Mountain Sect performance and uphold their reputation as the best cultivation sect in the known world. Lots of, it would have been better if you had done this, and doing it this way was a mistake, and you didn't do enough of the things you did right.
With very brief breaks every time Liu Qingge winces at his own injuries, which prompts Madame Liu to make some obligatory, are you trying to break your poor parents' hearts, remarks. If it was anyone else, Shang Qinghua would just go to his happy place and ignore all of this. But Madame Liu has this amazing talent for making him feel like she's going to be quizzing him later on this. He's also unfortunately paralyzed by Liu Qingge's insight shared some years ago now, which was,
it's because she cares.
Still, I shudder to think what someone else would have made of an endeavor like this, Madame Liu says finally. This was as satisfactory as can be realistically expected.
Holy shit! Is that a compliment?
Shang Qinghua thinks. Stunned? Compliment?
I have no hopes for the next attempt, Madame Liu says frankly.
Which is the only way Madame Liu says things. Who will be the next to host?
That would be Huanhua Palace Sect, Madam,
interrupts a new voice.
Character profile updated.
Use the pop-ups to actually warn me of things in advance or shut up,
Shang Qinghua thinks in a wail, as he dismisses the system notification and turns to face the Huanhua Palace Master, also occasionally known as Immortal Master Qin, but mostly known as the Old Palace Master.
Ah, the Palace Master is at least accompanied by Yue Qingyuan, who has failed as a bro by not shouting out a warning to flee, but can probably be trusted to take one for the team by dragging the old man away again at some point. Shang Qinghua wouldn't be surprised if Changmen Shixiang saw a very important person headed to go socialize with Liu Qingge and Madame Liu and hopped a fucking table to intervene. Shang Qinghua would have hurtled every piece of furniture to interrupt that. Tang Chong Mountain Sect doesn't need that mess.
Huanhua Palace Sect has the honor of hosting the next Immortal Alliance Conference, which is currently scheduled to take place 5 years from now.
The Palace Master elaborates for her, smiling charmingly like she's the only person in the room.
We hope to improve on these first hesitant steps taken here, and to truly bring together all the cultivation world. Madam will, I hope, be truly impressed next time.
Madame Liu looks the man up and down like a woman who has never been impressed by anything in her life.
Only if Huanhua Palace Sect can accomplish such a feat without requiring Chang Chong Mountain Sect to finish the work again.
The Palace Master's smile turns from charming to barely held up.
Sect leader Yue,
Madame Liu greets unemotionally, Congratulations on the successful revival of the Immortal Alliance Conference. None of us here were getting any younger waiting for it to be done.
Thank you, Madame Liu,
answers the man who helped defeat the Demon Emperor.
I must go comment on Lian He sect's performance in the tournament,
Madame Liu announces, and excuses herself to go tear an old rival to pieces. Helpfully. She doesn't wait for anyone's permission to walk off, and heads turn to follow her warpath through the banquet hall. Shang Qinghua is not looking forward to the day Liu Qingge finally tells his mother about Luo Jiahui. His poor sister-in-law really doesn't need such a helpful mother-in-law. The palace master manages to recover easy enough, chuckling indulgently. Anyone so easily shaken would never have managed to stay in charge of a sect for so long, much less one like Quanhua Palace, one of the four great sects of their time. The man is the very picture of a dignified master of a venerable sect. His golden robes are peerlessly handsome, his posture tall and strong despite his white hair and wrinkled face, and his smile serene and knowing. Ah, he's really unbearable. Shang Qinghua wishes he wasn't so put together. The palace master congratulates Liu Qingge for his victory in the tournament, claiming that the final fight with one of Huanhua's master cultivators had been a close one. He slyly implies that the outcome could have gone either way.
Not really,
Liu Qingge says. Shang Qinghua exchanges a look with Yue Qingyuan that makes it clear that Changmen Shixiang doesn't wish that he was doing shots right now. Yue Qingyuan instead clearly wishes that he'd never come to this party, that he'd instead spent the entire evening peacefully alone, and that he'd gotten to go boringly to bed by 8 p.m. for a good night's rest. Shang Qinghua finds that expression extremely relatable. Ah, Liu Shidi, I think Wei Xixiang is waving you over. Shang Qinghua lies.
Please don't let us keep you,
Yue Qingyuan says. Even Liu Qingge can't miss a hint that obvious from their sect leader. The Baichan Peak war god gives them both a droll look before making himself scarce.
Impertinent are the youth of today,
the palace master remarks with another indulgent smile. It's almost convincing. Shang Qinghua wants to say that he wouldn't be surprised if the old man saw the rest of them as children to be minded and indulged, except that he also knows about the man's obsession with Su Xian. He also knows that the old man, who could reasonably expect it to be a grandfather, or even a great-grandfather, or even a great-great-grandfather by now, has a daughter around Bingha's age. Shang Qinghua has no fucking desire whatsoever to know how the no-good, utterly untrustworthy system has world-built around these scummy facts. The system is clearly inclined to be creative. It should stop!
Peak Lord Liu believes that challenge is the most respectful form of encouragement,
Yue Qingyuan says more diplomatically.
Indirect approaches are not the way of Baichan Peak.
Yes, your sect is divided in that way, the palace master agrees, as though he thinks that Tang Chong Mountain Sect is really just 12 minor sects in a trench coat, pretending to be a greater sect than they are. Which is a relatively common perception by those inclined to look down on Tang Chong Mountain Sect. Sure fucking feels that way to Shang Qinghua sometimes.
Peak Lord Shang and his martial sister went to great lengths to assist with that House of Rejuvenation business, which was much appreciated.
The palace master remarks with a slight nod in Shang Qinghua's direction, as though the man doesn't clearly consider Shang Qinghua little better than a jumped-up servant.
Only for Peak Lord Shun to then interfere in the investigation. Very disordered.
Yue Qingyuan's expression shudders slightly, which is only to be expected when people go around casting shade at Tang Chong Mountain Sect in general
and Shen Qingqiu in particular. Zhang Qinghua quickly excuses himself to make sure that Liu Qingge really has made it to Wei Qingwei, if only because Mu Qingfeng and Madame Liu would both be terrifyingly unhappy if the man somehow managed to get lost. The rest of the banquet isn't very interesting. These things tend to all be the same, honestly. You've been to one, you've been to most of them. Zhang Qinghua goes through the motions of head nodding and paying attention to the latest snubs, basking in his success, which far surpasses his goal of not the worst conference in the history of everything. He goes back to thinking about how to best shoo everyone off the grounds and being super fucking grateful that there aren't any soda pop cans for people to litter in this world. These fuckers would if only they could. He's sure of it. There's still so much fucking mess to clean up, but at least there's that. It's only as the party is finally beginning to wind down that the haze of politicking is interrupted by the return of Chen Xuan, who tells him that a young Huanhua Palace disciple pressed a scrap of paper into her hand, told her to give it to her teacher, and then ran away. The paper only says, "We found it." Changmen Shixiang, please forgive the off-topic interruption. Zhang Qinghua says quietly at the breakfast that will begin the closing ceremonies today, after all the awful speeches have been made. But I need a quick word, if you can spare it. Very quick.
Of course.
Thank you. I finally received word of the location of what we discussed. Of course I'll see to it that the Immortal Alliance Conference is properly concluded, given that I'll have to wait for Liu Shidi to heal anyway. But after that, I'd like to depart as soon as the arrangements can be made. This isn't the ideal location for this discussion, but Zhang Qinghua and Yue Qingyuan won't be in the same space and have anything resembling a spare moment again until very late tonight. Zhang Qinghua wants to start making some of the arrangements now, if he can. Most of his best people are already here at the conference, so he can go as soon as he gets the green light. But Yue Qingyuan's usually friendly face is weirdly disapproving.
Unless there's an issue with that?
Oh, fuck. What has he overlooked now? Is there an Immortal Alliance conference after party that he was supposed to put together or something? There's been enough partying. If another party is happening, Zhang Qinghua refuses to help organize it. They should be boring and skip the party. Why can't they be boring?
Your proposed plan is filled with many uncertainties,
Yue Qingyuan says delicately. His tone is quiet and kind.
Great effort has clearly been put into it, of course. But if Shang Shudi's diligence has produced truthful results, then the danger to yourself and Liu Shudi will be considerable. Duty to your sect demands, perhaps, greater preparation before undertaking such an ambitious and personal endeavor.
Zhang Qinghua turns to look directly at his sect leader.
You don't think I can do it, he realizes. Which is a weird feeling. On the one hand, yeah, he wouldn't trust him to get this done either. This is something that demands an OP protagonist, not a scheming minor character. On the other hand, what the fuck, bro? Seriously, what the fuck, bro? Sure, the booster of author god knowledge definitely looks dubious as hell from the outside, but Zhang Qinghua has spent months double-checking himself here while researching youth-restoring plot devices. He's not going in blind here. He knows what he's doing. He's been hoarding enough special items in preparation for this that he's been waiting for the system to pop up and tell him that there's no more room in his personal inventory. Zhang Qinghua has been scheming so fucking hard over this that he could probably take on anyone short of the plot armored right now. And he's been doing this while assisting Yue Qingyuan with the revival of the Immortal Alliance Conference, so the man knows all of this.
And Shang Qinghua asked Liu Qingge for backup. The man said yes right away, without even needing to hear what Shang Qinghua needed help with, actually. Which was uncomfortably flattering and super fucking concerning. So maybe that's not very reassuring after all. But having a war god on his side is pretty good. Yue Qingyuan is having doubts about this? Now? Shang Qinghua has been doing everything right lately. He's been doing the opposite of fucking up for once in his life. He's been tireless and dutiful. He's been putting in the fucking work. His disciples would attest to that. Zhangchong cultivators across the sect would attest to that. Cultivators across all these sects at this stupid fucking conference would attest to that. 5 minutes ago, Shang Qinghua would have confidently said that Yue Qingyuan, his bro among bros, would attest to that. I'm concerned that Shang Shirdi's eagerness may be blinding him to the depth of potential pitfalls, Yue Qingyuan says. That Liu Shirdi may also be too close to this situation. The temptation to take undue risk may be overwhelming, if one hasn't also prepared themselves for disappointment. Shang Qinghua stares at him, drowning in disbelief. Oh, he could say so fucking much to that. The sect shares all victories and losses, Shang Shirdi, says a third voice. There's so much dangerous lightness to this third voice that all of Shang Qinghua's instincts shriek. Get under the table now! Yue Qingyuan looks, for a split second, mildly stricken before he recovers the mask of a sect leader. It's not that either of them forgot about the person sitting between them. It's just that Shang Qinghua honestly thought that this conversation would be over by now, with him racing away under the green light that his bro was supposed to give him right away. A victory for one sect member is a victory for all of us, Shen Qingqiu notes. This has been said many times over the course of this event, so it must be true. Likewise, it follows that a failure by one must be a burden duly shared around. It is the privilege of a sect leader to oversee this. Of course, he does not want failure to be spread around the sect, just as he would not want one person to outshine all the others with their successes, where certain others have so miserably failed. Shen Qingqiu is not looking at either of them. Shang Qinghua has no idea how much Shen Qingqiu knows about his personal mission. Shang Qinghua definitely hasn't told him anything. Maybe Shen Qingqiu will just take any opportunity to call their sect leader a coward. Yue Qingyuan looks kind of like he's trying to hide the fact that his heart has kind of just been ripped out. Even though all of his instincts say to stay the fuck out of this, Shang Qinghua can't let another one of these arguments break out at his conference. Not on the last damn day. There's been a few minor incidents, but they're so close to getting out of here without a major incident. So Shang Qinghua dives in to kill the conversation before it can mutate into something truly monstrous and humiliating for everyone in proximity. Forget Shen Qingqiu's temper. Shang Qinghua's temper isn't good enough to manage if things get ugly. Aha, good point. Zhongmen Shixiang, we can discuss this later, maybe? Of course. The rest of the breakfast continues in dangerously frosty silence until they're pulled in their separate directions with the promise that this will continue later, hanging over their heads, in one way or another. Whoops. Also, fucking yikes.